our views are not on trial. Ultimately, our behavior is not on trial if we're living as Christians. Ultimately, we are not on trial before the one to whom it matters. And you see, if we believe that and we understand that, then whatever happens to us in this world, we understand is part of the plan of the one who indeed is sitting on the throne. And that means we are simply court servants of the greater king in a greater kingdom with a greater throne.
Well, today we have a great lesson on who our audience really is when it comes to sharing the gospel. And when we are reviled, when we are maligned because of that gospel, who is it that is really maligned? Welcome to Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon back in the book of Acts. The greater judge has taken his seat. Chapter 24.
Here's the word of the Lord. Let's give our attention to it. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your oversight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly, for we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him, you yourself will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in a temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. And when I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing, that I cried out while standing among them, 'It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day.' But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, 'Go away for the present. When I get opportunity, I will summon you.' At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." And there ends the reading of God's word. One of the things that we forget when our faith is put on trial is that there is a greater throne. There is a greater throne. Remember in Revelation chapter 5 when John is shown the vision and he looks up and I saw a throne fixed in heaven. It's a beautiful imagery that there is a throne fixed. That throne never topples like all these thrones did in Rome. And the scriptures are constantly showing us that there is a greater throne with a greater judge who has taken his seat. That's the language of Scripture. And I believe that's really important here to think about in the book of Acts for our boldness when we are put on trial for our faith in whatever form and way and shape that comes. It might come to you boys and girls with somebody questioning your faith and attacking you for what you believe. It might come to our young adults in the same way that there are people who want to undermine our faith. Or it could come in this kind of way where one day we are actually put on trial for our views. This is the most extreme, but as we looked at last time, this is all meant to encourage us that the apostles were put on example for us in the most extreme situations and the extreme circumstances, given deliverance by the Lord to encourage us in whatever ways we suffer for the gospel. For we know that through much tribulation we all enter the kingdom. That's the truth that is said everywhere in the scriptures. But I want you to think about that ultimately, our views are not on trial. Ultimately, our behavior is not on trial if we're living as Christians. Ultimately, we are not on trial before the one to whom it matters. And you see, if we believe that, and we understand that, then whatever happens to us in this world, we understand is part of the plan of the one who indeed is sitting on the throne. And that means we are simply court servants of the greater king in a greater kingdom with a greater throne. And I love that perspective in looking at Acts chapter 24, because what that means is if it ever came to the point in the world of the worst possible persecution that we could face, if they wanted to prosecute us for our faith, the fact of the matter is everyone still has to give an account to him who sits on this throne. If we understand this, then we have nothing to fear. If we believe that and know that, then we have nothing to hold back from. If we recognize that, no matter what happens to us then in this life, all the Lord is calling us to do is simply to testify to the truth of which we are qualified to give evidence. And you are qualified. You are qualified. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. You can talk about Jesus. You can talk about your salvation. And we should. Well, that's what's before us today, that Paul's official trial begins. He doesn't, of course, see it that way, though. That's what's remarkable. This is Paul on trial, but what you see here is such a confidence from this man that what you see is he doesn't really believe he's the one on trial. He believes they're on trial. And that's a remarkable thing to think about, isn't it? He sees that the whole world is under the just judgment of God. Remember Jesus, last time we looked at in John 12, when he says, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself. He's the one on the throne, and because he's raised in the resurrection, the judgment has begun. This is how Paul's thinking. This is how Paul is getting through all of this. So Paul believes strongly that his witness and his testimony is of somebody to whom everyone else must answer to, a much greater than Festus. He serves the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what I is the basic point this morning, is that we need to have that kind of confidence in what is going on in this world and who indeed is seated on the throne. Everyone must kiss the Son, Psalm 2, lest they perish in the way. Now, that is the way we're approaching this particular passage, and I believe that's exactly what you'll see as you see Paul's actions. We see now here, Paul is now facing his first official court case, and we see here the Jewish prosecution, Paul's defense, and then a somewhat surprising outcome. And that's how we'll look at this passage. If you remember last time, Paul had been brought to Antipatris here, and we have come to Caesarea. We are in this Roman military stronghold. This is an important place for Rome. He has been brought to Tiberius Antonius Felix, the governor of this entire province. He was a crafty ruler. He was a dishonest ruler. I think you saw that here as he really is trying to get money from the apostle as he's on trial. He is going to try the case himself. Interesting. So far, this would be the worst scenario for any of us. We would never do well to find something more challenging than this. This is a scary scenario for the Apostle Paul. Think about this. Tacitus said of this man, Felix, this. He was a tyrant with the spirit of a slave, plunging into all manner of cruelty and lust. It's already bad for Paul because, as I have pointed out over and over, the Romans hated uprisings, the Romans hated rebellions, and they did everything they could to put them out. They wanted to stop any threat to Caesar's throne. This was number one top priority. Felix has come and said, and by the way, Felix had already wiped out many of these insurrectionists before. Felix has said the trial will take place once the accusers have come. That's where we enter the text today. The accusers have come. We have a classic Roman trial where you have a prosecution, you have a defense, which Paul will then make. The difference being there's no jury here to decide. You'll notice here Felix himself decides. That was more prominent in the Roman system and how they did this. Which, if Paul is found guilty by Felix for conspiracy, he most certainly will be put to death. So the case begins. We read that after 5 days, the high priest himself came, Ananias. He wanted to give real weight to this. The high priest himself from Israel, from Jerusalem, has shown up, and they are all there coming down with a mob of Jews to try Paul and to convict him. They want to see him dead. What's interesting is the interjection that there was a spokesman, one Tertullus. I don't think you can miss what's happened here. They have brought in what you would consider as a high-profile lawyer. You know these guys. You see them all the time on the TV when there's a big case. Someone who has all the wit, who lacks a moral compass, who has all the wit and intelligence and oral abilities, the best speakers of the day to come in and win the case, to prosecute Paul. Our high-profile cases in our day get some of the most aggressive and unprincipled lawyers that everyone fears. You know when that happens, this is going to be one nasty case. The truth in these cases, we know, typically is not really the issue, is it? Truth doesn't matter. Truth is shoved aside. It's about doing one thing. It's about getting vengeance and putting out any threat to the agenda. So here's the scenario. You have a corrupt judge. You have a wicked spokesman prosecuting. You have a mob behind it and the high priest standing there supporting it all. All with Paul standing alone. Who would want to face this? We read that they laid before the governor their case against Paul. Paul is brought in, and as they're all standing there, Tertullus begins to speak. It's a fascinating moment for this prosecution. What I loved about it and thinking about it this week was this is exactly, when you have something inspired like this from the Holy Spirit himself, what he's telling us to do is study the tactics that they are doing because the devil's behind this, and this is the way that the devil is trying to destroy the credibility and the truth of Christianity in the world. So whatever we see here, the devil is a dog. He doesn't have a new bag of tricks. It's always the same in different maybe forms, but it's always the same attacks that he's leveled throughout history. And this is the Holy Spirit's way of helping us understand those attacks and applying those attacks and thinking through, again, as we've looked at, how we are to behave under this kind of attack. Notice what he does here. He begins to speak, and his intro is fascinating. Since, dear Felix, through you, we enjoy much peace. And since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, to which you want to say right now, shut up. You see this, don't you? Reforms are being made everywhere for this nation. In every way and in everywhere, we accept this with all gratitude. Unbelievable. It's sheer manipulation. Read between the lines. Felix, you've got a perfect track record. You've got a perfect track record of dealing with problems in your kingdom. You've always honored Rome. You've always been the best for Caesar in fighting off insurrectionists, people who promote rebellion in your empire. And with foresight, you have, with foresight, this is how brilliant you are. You've always made reforms to keep the peace. We see it. We thank you so much for this. The manipulation here is, we are about to bring a charge against you of someone, if you want to keep your good record, you've got to deal with. Because let me tell you, this guy is everything against and would dishonor everything you have accomplished in the kingdom for Rome. This is one of those situations you stand back and you look at it and you say, you don't have a ghost of a chance. You really don't have a ghost of a chance in this particular scenario. There is no way. Here come the charges. Just listen to the charges for a moment. We have found this man to be a plague. One who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He's even tried to profane the temple. But we seized him. All of it's a lie. All the charges are a flat-out lie. There's nothing true about anything that they just said. Think of the first charge here. He is a plague in that he stirs up riots everywhere. He knew just what he was doing. For a Roman to hear that, for a charge, that's a very serious charge in Rome. This guy is like a plague in your very province. This guy has stirred up dissension in the kingdom. He is teaching. He's dividing it all up. Now listen to the second charge. He's also a religious fanatic. He is a religious fanatic. See him? He leads that wild sect over there of the Nazarenes. Third, he's a desecrator of temples. That, of course, was probably referring to when they accused him of bringing Trophimus in there, which was a lie. So we're back to my illustration. We're back in San Diego Superior Court. You're on trial. You look up at the judge. There's the worst judge possible up there sitting on the seat. Coming out, and you know this is going to be an awful outcome. And then you look out, and somebody walking in the door, and you can't believe who it is. It's Gloria Allred. What in the world are we going to do? Dear Judge, San Diego has always prided itself on being a county of openness, tolerance, and acceptance of all peoples. We have our parades. We've had them in the streets. We've always shown openness to whatever and whoever, whatever their way of life they have decided to live. You represent a system that has promoted this justice socially. You represent a system that has always fought for the oppressed and banished hate. You've been a model in this. You have a perfect track record of punishing hate with the most just of punishments. This person is a disease among us. It needs eradicated now. This brand of Christianity that this person is promoting is causing hate everywhere and stirring up dissension everywhere. All these hate groups have come together under this guy. You know what? He is actually one of the religious fanatics. Remember that guy, Harold Camping? You know he's reformed. the guy who was the big doomsdayer. He's a part of all these sects, this guy. He's a part of all of this. And he's attacking everything that Christianity is about. Christianity is all about love, and Christianity is all about acceptance, and Christianity is all about a God who loves everyone unconditionally. He doesn't teach that. What are you going to do? This is Paul. This is where he is. This is exactly the moment. It's not so far off, is it? What I just painted. I don't know how many times today I hear political commentary of people trying to tell us as Christians what historic Christianity is. And it's just astonishing to hear willfully ignorant statements of what Christianity supposedly has taught through all of the years of its existence, saying today that our views on marriage and our views on sexuality and all these views are not historic Christianity. And you stand back and you say, we've always taught these things. We are saying nothing new. And it's presented as a new form of hate. Anyone principled now in our culture is radical. You understand that? Anyone principled is radical. Anyone who practices what Christians have practiced for thousands and thousands of years is now considered a nut job, a crazy man. It's linked together even worse with the worst forms of what everyone says is right-wing political extremism. This is a huge challenge. Huge challenge. Well, this is where Paul is. This is exactly what he's facing. It wasn't just from Tertullus. The Jews joined in on the charge, affirming it all. I just don't know if you could have a worse situation against you, could you? I really don't know that you could have a worse situation against you. What a frustrating moment. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? You see why the Spirit inspired these passages for us? They were always meant to have us think in changing times, how to handle ourselves, what to do, how to think, how to behave.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do thank you for joining us today. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As always, we spend time here on Abounding Grace Radio encouraging you in Christ, challenging you in your walk and relationship with Him, which means questions will abound. You can reach out to us at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Or address your questions to questions@agradio.org. Also, a brief reminder in closing out our time together today, the URC Church here in Escondido, where Pastor Chris Gordon serves, will be the host for a regional Ligonier conference called If the Foundations Are Destroyed. That'll take place May 13th through the 14th. You know, sometimes it can seem that Christians are standing on unsteady ground while the world seeks to dismantle those foundations of our faith. Compromise threatens the church from within. In times of turmoil, Scripture reminds us where our true security lies, in our sovereign God, whose throne can never be moved. So that's what this conference is all about. Our keynote speakers include W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and our own Pastor Chris Gordon. Again, that is May 13th through the 14th. Simply go to ligonier.org and click the menu tab. Scroll down to events and you'll be able to learn more and register for the conference. Finally, we do continue the ministry here on this radio station because friends and partners such as yourself come alongside us financially and prayerfully. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us and make a secure donation online at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. You would prefer to make out a check to Abounding Grace Radio, and these are all tax-deductible donations, by the way. You can write to us with that check at Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then come back and join us next time as we continue our studies in God's Word, abounding in grace. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.